When the 90s came, I tried to change my negative social outlook. Just maybe, maybe, the world really wasn't run by crooks.
Oh, you think not?
On close inspection, I saw that justice and morality was no longer reality in most men's mentality.
Mentality.
Racism was, well,
alive.
Malcolm had been reduced to a commercial X. And the Panthers to a movie.
When the 90s came.
I saw black self-hate at a high, vicious rate.
Look around.
I dug panhandlers.
Got some change.
I stumbled over homeless soup kitchen abused youth with in vogue values. Suicidal sex out mixed up Nintendo kids.
When the 90s came.
Doing violent dances. Taking deadly chances.
Deadly chances.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I peeped the middle class becoming last fast.
Fast.
Network, corporate, multinational, and insanity has control of humanity.
Destroying
humanity.
Family.
And the world psyched into an ethnic fight.
Black and brown.
As the gun runners grow an economic might.
Red,
white, and yellow.
And the poor people struggle and fight. And struggle and fight.
And struggle and fight.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw smiling billboards and comedians everywhere.
Just look around.
Sprinkling mechanical laughter here and there, here and there to hide the deadly mental despair.
Despair.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
Iron Rain was inflicting pain.
Oh, that hurt.
I'd never seen such a thing. Persuasive political TV bites.
Speaking to the
take
mic.
People's rights.
News at 11.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw the world's real mass murder sitting on the highest purchase from the government to the churches.
When the 90s came.
Self-righteous high-tech killers. Robbing and raping minds at prime time.
News at 11.
Mental scars, civil wars,
fought in bars.
People singing hate songs of death and tribal wars. As rape women weep and children die.
Die.
Most time. For a great big law and order lie.
Law and order lie.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw disease and pollution with no solution. As psyched out, robot in vogue mind people. Follow like sheep and
like
weep.
Like sheep and weep.
Because of prime time.
Unreal.
Billboard computerized multimedia mentality.
When the 90s came.
Has become their reality.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came. I learned to have hope. In the face of no hope.
I still believe.
When the 90s came.
And through all the changes, there's still some positive things happening now. When the 90s came. Thank you.
good morning to everyone and the listening audience. Welcome to a new year and another new episode of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, featuring student host Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. Now, today, our student hosts give examples of overcoming adversity and persevering in spite of desertation. Okay? Now, I want to start out by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you in our listening audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So, thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And I want to add that today we're going to basically highlight some things that need to be said and need to be reviewed and highlighted. And we have graciously been honored to have our young student hosts make the presentation and reviews, and our panelists will, you know, chime in and support the given details as we move along with our subject and content matter. So I'd like to start out by having our first panelist, Ms. Tanisha Gardner. Happy New Year and good morning.
Happy New Year, everyone, and good morning to everybody, too.
All right. And student host Justin Hill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year.
And Brielle Claire, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay. So, I want to hand it over to student host Justin Hill to moderate and introduce Brielle. I apologize. I keep on stumbling over your name. I guess I need a little bit more practice. Brielle Claire, Justin, please introduce Brielle so that she can start and kick off the show. And wait a minute. Before you do, hold on. Let's have our other panelists who just chimed in. Mr. Harris, good morning and Happy New Year.
Well, good morning, Happy New Year to everybody.
Okay. And Justin, I hand it over to you.
Welcome back, everybody. It's now time for Brielle's first segment of Diamond.
Good morning, everybody. And today, for my first Diamonds, I am going to be doing Rosewood. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. In the first week of January 1923, Black towns and people were destroyed caused by the massacre. At least 6 Black people and 2 white people were killed, although others suggest about 27 to 150 were killed. Before the massacre, the town had been a quiet town with mostly Black people. Although the trouble started when white men hung a Rosewood resident because of lies of what a white woman said. The survivors remained silent about Rosewood for decades. 60 years later, it finally revived in the 80s. The survivors agreed to sue the state for failing to protect Rosewood. Some survivors' stories claim that 27 Black residents were killed, and either their survivors are too elderly or some passed away to tell the real story. Again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my Diamonds on Rosewood.
Okay, so I just want to say normally we would pause and maybe talk about this particular segment, right? But Brielle, because all of your segments, from what I understand, kind of relate to one another. I'd like for you to, since you're on a roll, I'd like for you to continue on.
With my second segment? Okay. Segment provides as a listener with the, this segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Cognitive dissonance is typically experienced as a physiological stress when a person participates in an action that goes against one or more of those things. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my definition segment. And the resource that I got this information was Wikipedia.
Okay. Now, you know, again, I sound like a broken record, but what the heck, right? I want you to continue on, right? What I need you to understand, Brielle, is that all your segments are connected. So please continue.
Okay. Black Wall Street. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Black Wall Street was a neighborhood, and in that land were soon to be destroyed. It continued to get worse because of the massacre. Although the residents of Tulsa insisted on rebuilding the torn buildings along with the houses. Lawyers agreed to allowing jailed African Americans in the massacre to help sue the city for compensation. Shortly after the massacre ended, they helped Tulsa become a better community. Black businesses were opened by the end of 1922. The community got better throughout the first century. In the 50s, after segregation, they torn down black communities and only allowed white people to have businesses. Most of the African Americans that lived in that community lived outside of the Greenwood District. Some African Americans were left with trauma, although their culture brought friendly race connections in the city. And again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my diamonds for Black Wall Street. And I will move on to my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the definition for this is the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties, toughness. And the resource that I got this information from was Wikipedia.
Okay. I want to hand it back. Great job, first of all. And I want to hand it back over to Justin to moderate. Take it away.
Thank you, Brielle. Thank you, Brielle, for your segment. And we will now go into the music. And I will be back with my first segment of Diamonds.
Okay, so here I am again. I'm just going to interrupt the music, right, because first of all, we need to go back. Brielle, you just shared with us two different massacres, two different stories in two different locations in the United States, right? Mr. Harris, I would like for you to give us the correct, first of all, pronunciation. And Brielle, I'm coming back to you because I want to know, after you delivering this content and information, I want to know what you think. But before we go there, right, I'm going to bring in our panelists. And cognitive dissonance, am I pronouncing that correctly? And help us to pronounce it correctly and then chime in on those two stories and the connection of Rosewood, Black Wall Street, her definition of cognitive dissonance, like I mentioned, and the word resilience. I know that's a lot on the plate, but Mr. Harris, I'm serving it up to you.
All right, again, good morning, everyone. And, it is called cognitive dissonance, you know, and it's the concept is basically that even though you know something is wrong, you're going to go ahead and do it anyway and try to justify it by whatever actions you have, you know. And, like, see, a lot of times people would use the analogy of smoking a cigarette. If you smoke a cigarette, you know that it's going to give you lung cancer. You know that it's bad for your health. You know that all these things, but you still smoke it anyway, knowing that it could possibly kill you. So you fake yourself out into thinking that everything's going to be okay, you know, because it's not going to happen to me. It happens to everybody else who does it, but it's not going to happen to me, you know. And this was the same mindset that people were using during the massacres between Rosewood and Tulsa, even though there was a lot of other places also that went through the same situation, you know, because a lot of people didn't understand that when these things was happening, this was only like a generation or so outside of slavery, you know. And prior to that, you know, everybody was like, oh yeah, okay, well, you're free now, so go ahead and do your own thing. You know, we're not going to help you anymore. We're not going to, you know, let you be a part of our society. So we were forced into doing stuff for ourselves. But because of the hundreds of years we had during our bondage and stuff, we did all the work anyway. So we was able to persevere and move forward and build things for ourselves. And then once our oppressors at the time, they weren't able to move in the same fashion that we were. So a lot of them, if you weren't already rich and you were just like a commoner, you were jealous of Black people doing stuff, you know. And it's not like, you know, first you were just adamant, yeah, we know you're not going to do this. We know you're not going to be able to do this. Go do your own thing. And when we did it and did it well and better than a lot of other people, now they get jealous. And, you know, and it's the same, and it was the same kind of cognitive dissonance that went with the smoking the cigarette. You knew that we didn't want Black people to be part of our society, but we also knew that we didn't want them to be better than us either. You know, so that whole mindset of what they used to call the Ku Klux Klan and the other people that were going on doing stuff, these little raiders that was doing stuff and just killing and burying whole cities on a whim. And, you know, like the Rosewood thing was based on a lie to start with. Tulsa was based on a lie, because it wasn't like they just didn't want to do anything. I mean, they just killed folks. They killed folks based on a lie, and they were looking for any reason to be able to do something against Black communities that were successful. And, you know, the fact that after that, you know, Rosewood wasn't able to come back at the time, but Tulsa and a lot of other places in Greenwood, all these places were able to come back because they kind of understood in the beginning that we know that there's going to be some issues if we're too successful. So even if they tear down everything that we have, we'll be able to come back and rebuild. And, you know, that was the resiliency that we had as a community that we kind of need a lot of now. But that's like another story. But that's kind of what I got out of her segments, you know, between the cognitive dissonance, resilience, and the two amongst many massacres and tragedies and stuff that befell our Black community.
Okay. We have time, and it's important that we get this information out and, you know, pretty much give a response to the best of our abilities. Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, I can hear you over the phone line, right? I want you to chime in. And then Brielle, I want you to come back and kind of, you know, if you can, sum it up, you know, and in your own words, and just express to us the information, how you felt about, you know, the information and when you learned. Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, take it away.
Hi, everybody, again. It makes me think about, again, Osian Sweet, because in his case, in Detroit, he actually used for him to win his case during the segregation at that particular time, actually got to win his case because he mentioned the massacres and how detrimental they were and how they affected, you know, his psyche since he was a child into now. So I guess that would definitely come into the cognitive dissonance, if I pronounce it correctly. So when we think of that, it says it's a discomfort of a person feels when their behavior does not align. So I guess when you look at the white race at that time, they felt as though they were superior and they were better, and that the African Americans were less than human. And for them to believe such a belief is what dictated and motivated them to treat us as such. And I think that's something, I guess, another way to look at it. And it's sad because it's like they only received for the reparations, I think it was like it wasn't a lot of money for it. I was trying to look it up about the about Rosewood and how they received reparations, but it was, I believe it was split through, I believe, the six families. And I think that's something to think about. And like you said, they couldn't return back to their town. So what does that do to your lineage, you know, and the impact of a community and the outlook of how we see ourselves within the economy. And especially when you think about Tusker, Oklahoma, and how they called it Black Wall Street. And when you think of Wall Street is dominant, especially when you think about it in New York City, and how that the money circulates throughout the world and also throughout the cities. So just imagine in that particular time how we had our own Black Wall Street and how we were so empowered and also empowered others, and how others hated us for that simple fact. And I think that's why we need to get back into the education of finance, the education of self-love, and understanding the mastery and the greatness that we have within, to bring it back out to make everything better and how we want it to be. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for adding that taste of love to the conversation and the content. Brielle, take it away.
Okay, so the connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically the connection is between Rosewood, the massacre, and Black Wall Street is how first they were Black communities, and they were Black communities that were quiet and everything, but until they were thriving communities, but until they were destroyed by white people who came and said false things. Like, for one of the stories where that, like I said earlier, the resident, he was killed because a white woman said something false. And so they were both destroyed by things that people said by white people, and it left some Black people traumatized. And like you said, they could have suffered from cognitive dissonance. But resilience, they proved over time that resilience, they had resilience, so they were able to make friendly race connections to the city. And that's basically it.
Okay. So I'm going to come back to you, Brielle. Brielle, I want you to think about how does this information actually make you feel right now? I do understand that it's taking a moment for you to, comprehend and understand all the information at one time, right? So, and Justin, I need to apologize to you, our moderator, right? But I just need to be able to get this information out, right? And as I do, right, and as I let you think about it, let it marinate for a moment, Brielle, right? When we come back, we're going to go straight to Justin, and right now, musically, we continue with the sounds of Make It Better by Anderson .Paak. Okay, there we go. To Justin Hill. And Justin, I want you to just roll right into your first segment, and I want you to continue on until you're finished. I want you to knock out all your segments, and then we're going to chop it all up. And Brielle, I'm coming back to you for you to give us insight on how it makes you feel. And Justin, that will include you as well. Take it away, Justin.
Okay. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply in your diamond to find yourself. And my first diamond segment is on Colin Powell. Colin Powell. And Colin Powell was born April 5th, 1937 in New York and died October 18th, 2021 in Maryland. He entered the Army upon graduation and served in Vietnam. In April 1989, Powell became a four-star general and an August press. George Bush nominated him chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He retired from the military in 1993. Although he decided not to run for president in 1996, he joined the Republican Party and spoke out on national issues. And my next diamond segment is on Benjamin O. Davis, Jr. And Benjamin O. Davis, Jr. was born in Washington, D.C. in 1912. General Davis transferred to the Army Air Corps in May 1942. As commander of the 99th Fighter Squadron at Tuskegee Army Air Base, he moved with his unit to North Africa in April 1943 and later to Sicily. And that is it for my diamond segment. And now I'm going to go into my definition segment. This segment provides the wisdom with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my first definition segment is on perseverance. And perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. It is also the action or condition or an instance of persevering. And my last segment is adversity. Adversity is a difficult period in your life in which you have many problems. And once again, this is student host Justin Hill, and that is it for my segments.
Okay. Brielle, talk to me.
Okay, so I'm not really sure how I feel about it yet, but something I can say is, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, I'm going to come back to you, and we heard the information about Benjamin O. Davis, Jr., Colin Powell, and we heard the definitions. Talk to us.
Okay, so the first one, okay, so the definitions were overcoming and adversity and perseverance, correct?
Well, all of the definitions all together was resilience, perseverance, adversity, and, I'm forgetting one. Help me out, guys.
Oh, cognitive,
dissonance.
Oh, we got to practice on our language. I guess from all that, it's very powerful how we get the connections from Rosewood Massacre to consonant dissonance and also Black Wall Street, and to see the impact through the resilience of producing Benjamin O. Davis and also Colin Powell, and how powerful they were in the military. Because when you look at Benjamin Davis, he was part of the World War II Tuskegee Airmen, and that is history by itself is very powerful. And then you have Colin Powell, who is who was the Secretary of State. And when you look at the definition of the Secretary of State, it says the Secretary of State is appointed by the President with the advice and consent of the Senate. It said it is the President's chief foreign affairs advisor. So just to see the resiliency of all our ancestors that paved the way for all the negligence and the pain and the suffering, but they took it and they kept going and they didn't give up. And so that's something to really look at, and how they were put in positive roles to be able to influence the masses, whether it be us as African Americans, but as worldwide. And I think that's something to really think about. And especially when we do look at the definition perseverance, what are we pursuing? How do we not allow situations to dictate our lives in a negative way, but be able to oversee it and overcome it? And don't look at the adversity as a problem, but look at it as a challenge and as a puzzle that you could be able to put together to be able to make your life better and other lives better. That's what I get from it. Thank you.
Okay. Justin, you've heard the information. Chime in and let us know, from what you understand, what do you think? How does it make you feel?
I think that it was nice from Brielle's segments about the massacres. I think it was wrong because they destroyed like their community for what because of the white people telling lies, and the black people did nothing wrong. So that's what I think.
Okay, now Brielle, what do you? I keep on. Let me just say, this particular show is pretty much geared towards you guys, our student hosts, and I need you guys to learn how to think on your feet. I need you to be able to understand information and understand or try to be able to express how you feel. What does that make? How does that make you feel? But the whole idea, like Ms. Gardner said, is the examples of our resiliency. When you talk about Colin Powell and Benjamin O. Davis, and as a people, our ability to overcome and not allow our setbacks to hold us back and still, you know, move on. Do you have anything else that you can share with us, Brielle?
Like your thoughts. So Justin was saying for mine, I do think that it was wrong because, you know, they were just accusing the people of doing things and they didn't do anything. And they left the black people with trauma. So I think that was wrong, like Justin said.
Okay. That's good. Now, what do you think about the resilience of black people as a whole, our ability to overcome? How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel better because they have the overpower to, they have, like, they came over what something that gave trauma to people, like, you know, people that got killed and stuff. So that makes me feel better, I guess.
Okay, so Mr. Harris, I'm going to come to you, and I want you to, Mr. Harris, just talk to us.
Oh, all right. Well, Well, for me, you know, listening to all the different segments and stuff we had, the common theme between all of that was that we have always been able to rise above whatever our challenges are, as teachers call them, because there's really no such thing as an obstacle. You know, it's just something that are we willing to do whatever it takes. And understanding that a lot of this stuff happened in the early 1900s. We was only a generation or so away from not being able to read, not being able to, like, do anything for ourselves. And then when we had that opportunity to do that, we really rose above and beyond anybody else's expectations, and that's what pissed people off. You know, and then when they the biggest thing that we've always had that capability in us for, like, thousands of years, because if you look at history of our people prior to slavery and stuff like that, we've done the most phenomenal things on the planet. You know, as so-called quiet as it's kept. You know, all of the, you know, the wonders of the world that we point our fingers at, all those were made by people of color. You know, we look at the difference between the stuff that was going on between the things that people think are really important that we see in Egypt, which was really, all of those things didn't come from Egypt. They came from Kemet when it was an all-black, you know, society. All the things that we think are wonderful, oh, look at these monuments. This is all stuff black people have been doing for millennia. And, you know, and all we need sometimes is just the opportunity to show our greatness. And, you know, and then because a lot of that has been stunted, that, you know, we only get to shine when they think we're shining, but we've been shining all along. And, you know, and there was another comment I wanted to make about the massacres. The biggest setback that I see that we got from that was the lack of generational wealth. You know, because we owned businesses, we owned homes, we had land. All that stuff, if we had been able to bring that stuff all together through generations, there'd have been a lot of money or wealth that had been generated within the black community, which was another reason why a lot of that stuff was done to us, to avoid us from creating generational wealth. But personally, I think all the segments today were really important for us to always understand that regardless of what we've been through or what we're doing, that we can always rise above and do better in any situation that we put ourselves in. So, you know, that's my take on all the different subjects we have today. That's our connection.
Okay. Well, you know, it's always a challenge to think on your feet for all of us. Well, I'm going to speak for myself because, you know, our minds are very powerful, and, you know, our minds go in different directions as we look at all of the information, the content, and you know, we double down and talk about these types of things that have occurred to us as a people as we've gone through history. And when we share this type of information with young people, it's important for them to learn how to express themselves and to understand the seriousness of being able to overcome, the seriousness of having resilience. You know, look at Brielle, when I look at you, Justin, right, I have to ask you, you know, how would you feel if you had built up a community and a family and someone came and just wiped you out? And what would it take for you to rebuild, and how would you overcome that type of adversity? And I'm thinking at the same time. And here it is, because it's, you know, returned back to the surface of my mind. Cognitive dissonance and the reason why this word is prevalent at this point, because I would say that if I had been wiped out, my community, my family, and everything, maybe psychologically I would say, well, it's since I did it before and they won't allow me to do it again, I just give up. Why should I even try? There's no chance. And so, Brielle and then Justin, I say to you, if you hear me say, you know, my community's been wiped out, why should I want to move forward? Why should I continue to try? What would you tell me, Brielle?
I would tell you to move on, even if it's a little hard, because, you know, staying stuck on it could keep you from a lot of new things. So I would say to move on, try your best. And
why? Why should I? Why should I? I've been wiped out.
I think you should move on so you don't keep negativity in your mind, so you can try to get the strength to move on.
Justin, and, why should I move on?
Well, I think, you know, like, you could feel, like, upset or sad, but at one point you have to move on because, like, you don't want to – because, like, you don't want to, like, feel upset all the time. You want to, like, live your life and be happy, but at first you could be, like, upset or sad.
Tanisha Garland, why should I move on? Why shouldn't I let cognitive dissonance just take a hold and you know, just submit and just say, you know, they're not going to let me do what I want to do. I give up. Why should I just, you know, want to continue on forward?
First, we're made in the image of God. So when we say that, we God's ourselves. So that's number one. No, number two, you got to look at the universal law. Everything has shifts. So just because you might be down one day don't mean you're going to be down forever. Everything has to change. The way that the sun rises, it has to set. So when we look at our lives, you know, sometimes we do have things that that are negative because of the polarities of the universe. So you have negative, you have positive energy, you have negative energy. So how do you transmute from one? And I think that's when it comes to the master of self. So when we look at our ancestors, they understood the ancient knowledge, which we are not really privily or understand the way that they did. And they surrounded themselves around people who understood that you have to keep going, that you cannot give up. Because when you look at civilizations on a whole, when you look at the world in general, you have dynasties that rise and you have dynasties that fall. So what happens in those points where they reach their pinnacle and they fall because someone else feels as though they can take. So what do you do in moments like that? You have to be like, nah, I got to prepare myself. And I always go back to the science suite. You know, he felt as though my life is just as important as yours, and you're not going to come in and shoot up my family, and I have a right to bear arms. So you have to know each role and understand yourself as a person and understand the situations that you're in, and be educated on each part of the aspects to understand, to be able to be resilient in life. Thank you.
Okay. Osan, sweet. I think you found a sweet spot. Mr. Harris, why should I not allow myself to suffer from cognitive dissonance?
Well, the main answer is in your question, because if you allow yourself, you're only looking at yourself. You're not thinking about the future. You're not thinking about your kids, your grandkids, or whatever, because, you know, they said the biggest dream for the slave was that their kids wouldn't have to be under the same oppression. So they put up with a lot more than anybody else on the planet was able to put up with. And, you know, and then once you got a taste of freedom and a taste of being able to do things for yourself, that's what you wanted to do. You wanted those same kind of opportunities for your children and your grandchildren, you know. So you would really put up with more. You might not be able to do it the same way you did it before. Like Nietzsche was saying, you still have to protect yourself because now you know where people are coming from. But it's very important that you understand that you don't live your life for you. You live your life for your progeny that comes after you. You know, because we our lives are short in the scheme of history. If we live 100 years, we think we did something. But history goes back thousands of years. So we do our little part to connect all the puzzle pieces so that down the line, you know, we can create a better picture for our family. And, you know, and that's why we should be doing things is to make things better for the future, not just for ourselves. So that's why giving up is not an option.
Okay. You know, Anderson .Paak, do you want to make it better, right? Not, and it is a love story for black people living in America, right? Now, as we chop this information up with about 5 minutes left to the show, I'm going to go to a song titled The Power of Soul, right? And I want you to put it all together, make some more connections. Because when we come back after this song, I want you to pretend that reparations have been dropped, right? Everybody has an opportunity for a brand new life and looking at the past and looking at the future. How do we go forward? Reparations have been dropped. We got everything we need. Well, how do we go forward looking at the past? And right now, the power of soul. Harris, I know I threw a whole lot on the wall, whatever sticks. Talk to us as we sum up and head out the door, because that's a wrap. Last words to the show, and just say whatever you know comes to your mind.
Now, first, it was a wonderful show. It led to a lot of positive commentary. And these are the types of things that we need to always have as part of our discourse as for what we're going to do as a people moving forward. So today was just a case in point of things that we need to do from now on. And I'm glad it happened.
Thank you. Ms. Gardner.
Be the change that you seek.
Okay. Brielle.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
It's not a question. Well, it is a question. My fault. My apologies. What do you think about the show?
I think it was pretty good, but I think that I could have done better.
Yeah, well, you can't say that without telling us how. At seven. Hold on. All right. The music's ready. When you say you could have done better, just tell us what you think.
I think I could have been done better when I improvement on maybe slowing down more and trying to understand and to get the words to pronounce them right. So
okay. Okay. Well, let me just say, the fact that you have identified that you need to improve is an improvement for within itself. Justin, your thoughts, and then close us out.
I think today's show was pretty great, and I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, and make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM from the campus of Senior Hall in South Orange. Questies Radio is the best,
the best radio.
Don't do